Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Guys, we've got a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about the art of Jin Shin, and this is going to help you if you have fear and anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, insomnia, because, you know, people are not sleeping these days, and a whole host of other things that you can take care of all by yourself, okay, with the instructions in this beautiful book that we're going to talk about in a moment. That's going to help you. And, you know, I'm recording this on August 5th, and over the weekend that just passed, we had the horrible shootings in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio. And if you are at all put at unease by what has happened, some of the techniques that will be shared today will be able to help you get through that process. So this is definitely a show, if you're into healing yourself, that you want to listen to, okay? And then after you listen to it, take full advantage of. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the key to easy, effective change. Now, I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest today, Alexis Brink, is the president of the Jin Shin Institute in New York City and has been a practitioner of the art of Jin Shin since 1991. She is a licensed massage therapist and interfaith minister and has taught self-help classes and workshops in New York City as well as in different countries for many years. She has taught Jin Shin in hospitals to nurses, to teachers, and to students in the public school system. And you can check out her website, and that is jinshininstitute.com. And that's JinShinInstitute.com. Her book, The Art of Jin Shin, is available everywhere, and it's the Japanese practice of healing with your fingertips. And folks, I can tell you from personally working with just the information in her book, because I was not familiar with this healing art, if you will, though I don't know if she'll call it that, is it works. Okay. And, you know, hands down, it does work. And you guys know I rarely say that a book is a keeper or a practice is a keeper, but this book is a keeper on my shelf. So welcome, Alexis.
Thank you, Monique. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Now, the art of Jin Shin, what is it?
Well, it's a form of energy medicine, and it's similar to acupuncture. But instead of needles, we use our hands, our two hands. And so that's why it's very easy to apply it on yourself. And if you go for a session, because some people, they don't love the needles. So because mm-hmm. this is with hands, the session itself is wonderful as well.
Okay.
And yeah, it's so easy. And that's why I wrote this book, because you can do a simple hold, and we'll talk more about it. And the art of Jinshin or Jinshin Jitsu, it's very individual to the person. So if they have a, let's say somebody comes in with a migraine, we go to the cause of the project, which may be different from one person who has migraine to the next person. So what I do is I listen to the pulses in the wrist to find out exactly what's going on, and looking at the body, how it's positioned on the table, listening to the words. So I get a full picture of what's exactly where the person is, uh-huh. and where they are in relationship with universal energy, and then bring the body back into rhythm with that one pulse. And so the technique of Jinshin is very, very vast. And you can also practice it very simply on yourself, which this book is about that. It's a very simple self-help, very simple way to treat yourself. So that's explained. And then you, I know you're a Reiki practitioner and master. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know it is more of a generalized treatment, so that's mm-hmm. where it is different. I would say that we use the same energy because, you know, the energy from consciousness, from that something that is bigger than ourselves, and bring back the life energy, the life force into the body. So in that way, I think all of these modalities greatly overlap, even if you think about yoga and meditation. It puts us in this stage where the energy flows freely in the body and the body can heal itself.
Okay. Now, how was this modality created, or this technique created? When was it created? Who created it?
Yes, it's Jiro Murai, and he was born in Japan and in the early 1900s, and he became very ill himself. And he didn't know exactly what he was doing with his life, and he was kind of abusing his body in a way by partaking in eating contests and just trying to figure out what he wanted to do. And then he became terminally ill, and his family, they were all medical doctors, and they couldn't help him. So he had read about people doing meditation and fasting and practicing the hand mudras. Uh-huh. So he asked to be taken up to the mountain cabin, his family mountain cabin, and to be left there for 7 days. And so he practiced meditation there and the hand mudras and fasting. And after the seventh day, he was healed, and he decided to devote the rest of his life to the study and research of what he called Jinshin Jitsu. And so he studied a lot of the ancient texts, the Greek texts, the Kojiki records. He got a lot of materials at the Issei Shrine that he worked with. So it all comes from the ancient traditions. And then he put together this system of working with certain energy locations on the body and making different flow patterns, which are mm-hmm. different sequences of steps. And so it's a very, very comprehensive system. And for me, it became a lifetime study, and it's beautiful because it also has a great philosophy to it. And mm-hmm. some people just take it as easy as holding their fingers and palm, and in that way helping to harmonize the energy in their total being.
Well, it's amazing how people feel that, how it can be so easy for people to feel better. Now, you talk about in the book two types of energy. You talk about ki and tai ki.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So tai ki is the, you've heard of energy pathways, right? And I think probably a lot of your audience has as well, or meridians. Mm-hmm. So those are tai ki. They are the organ flows in the body. You can see those on the body, or you can feel them. For example, this spleen energy starts at the big toe, goes on the inside of the leg, flows up, and then goes through the reproductive area and crosses the body and goes to the face. So for example, if you have a knee project, which is on the line of the spleen flow, a spleen flow can be easy. That is tai ki. Those flows they repair the body and they nurture the body. And then ki eki is universal energy, and it's We use in Jinshan, and that is where it's a little bit different. We use the Qi Eki to get this flow to move. So we use Qi Eki is universal energy, or in Japan they talk about ancestral energy. And so we use this energy to mobilize the energy flow and the energy pathways in the body. And that is where it gets a little bit technical and hard to understand, but for you to practice Jinshan, you don't have to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
really.
It's just great to have a little background, know what your energy you're playing with here.
Exactly. Because we use universal energy, that's why it is so powerful, because that is really on a causal level. It is the pathway before it becomes the body, before it becomes the organ functions. That's what makes it so effective. You really clear it on a causal level, not just on a symptomatic level. So if somebody has a liver project, I may not go to the liver flow. I may look, which one is it that's burdening it? Because when you work with the energy pathway, it eventually becomes the organ. But we're working on a pure energetic level.
Okay. Now, since this is a hands-on art, if you will, you talk about using the breath, the hands, and the pulse. Why those three?
Well, the hands are the ones, and in Jinshan Jitsu we call them our jumper cables, that when you apply them, they restart the battery. So when you place your hands on your own body, on these locations that I point out, it kind of restarts your battery. It gives you that life force, this movement of energy. And then when you place your hands on the body, what you feel is a pulsation. And even if you're holding a finger, which is a very easy way to practice Jinshan, when you hold it, you will start to feel this pulsation. And then first the pulse may be quickly or very quiet. Then it becomes louder. It goes through all these different, as we call them, textures. And that is the movement of energy. And so when you're holding it and the pulse is nice and even, that means that it's in rhythm with universal energy. And that's where healing takes place.
Okay.
And you had the hands, the pulse, and what was the third one you mentioned?
The breath.
You said there are three things. The breath. Okay. Well, without the breath, the energy cannot move. So that's very, very important to become aware. And of course, we're always breathing anyway, or we wouldn't be here. There is a deeper breath, the parasympathetic nervous system, and that's the deep belly breathing. And so that's very important to apply that when you're practicing Jinshan, so that the energy can even begin to move. And it's not with a lot of effort, but it's just simply being aware of the breath and making sure that it's not just all the breath is like fast and stuck in your chest, but it is nice and even in the belly. Like when you watch a baby breathe, they see the belly go up and down, and that, a breath like that. So those three things are very important.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Alexis Brink. She is the author of The Art of Jinshan, the Japanese practice of healing with your fingertips. And you can check out her website at jinshininstitute.com. Again, that's jinshininstitute.com. Alexis, how can people use this healing modality in their lives? We just had this past weekend the shootings that are going on, and, some people made it, some people didn't. But everybody who is aware of the situation is under some type of emotional reaction to it. How can we help ourselves with this modality?
I think first of all, it is very important to have a daily practice so that you as an individual can be in harmony and that you are centered and in alignment, because when we are, then everything else around us will follow. Or, we are a microcosm of the macrocosm. So I think first of all, that's very important to make sure that we as individuals are okay. And then the other thing, I think today there's a lot of fear coming up. And so for Jinshin, what we can do is holding each of the fingers. The index finger helps to harmonize fear in the body. So if you hold with your right hand your left index finger and you just hold it and you sit and you breathe and mm-hmm. listen for this pulsation, then the emotional attitude, and when it gets stuck, it becomes an attitude of fear or anxiety, will start to harmonize. And then it will relax, and it helps the kidney and bladder energy. And so in this way, you can start to harmonize your entire body. If you feel very sad about what's happening, and I think we all had a great deal of sadness when we saw the videos on the news and all of that, mm-hmm. You can hold your ring finger, and that helps with sadness and grief. It helps the lung energy and the large intestine. So again, the same way, you can just simply hold the whole finger and mm-hmm. breathe, and that will help to harmonize sadness.
Okay, so when you say the ring finger, you mean the ring finger on the left hand, and you just like put it in the palm of the right hand, or do you just hold it with your fingers? What exactly do you do? Because I'd like for the audience to try this out while they're listening to us.
Yeah, actually, holding the ring finger, I'm doing it right now. It feels really nice and calming. Mm-hmm. So you can hold whichever side is more comfortable for you. So let's say with your right hand, you're holding the entire left in ring finger. Mm-hmm. So you can hold it from the base all the way to the top. And you can hold the sides or the front of the back. Now, they mean all different things, and they help all different things. That's why I always say just hold the whole finger. Mm-hmm. And as you start to study more, you can figure out, oh, this helps more of the inhale, and this helps more of the exhale, and this helps more the spirit, the mind, and the body. So there's all these things that it helps individually, which I do explain in the book as well. But when in doubt, you can just hold the whole finger. And then the palm of the hand. Yeah, the palm of the hand is also really nice because mm-hmm. that's if you feel really tired or depleted, then the palm of the hand will help. So you can just place your fingers on the palm. And if you think our prayer position is you bring your palms together. Mm-hmm. So that is also a really nice thing to do for deep fatigue.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the finger for a moment. In the book, you talk about the finger having a root, a trunk, and a harvest. So talk to us a little bit more. What's the meaning, and how does that help us heal our body?
Well, we look at the chest, the waist, and the hip line. And so the harvest would be the chest line, and that's related to our emotional being. And so when the emotions get stuck, it tends to get stuck on the chest line. And if that's not open, then the energy doesn't go down properly. It gets stuck right into the chest line. And you can see it because then often it may be tight or lifted higher than the rest of the body. So mm-hmm. you want to make sure you're exhaling. And that's helped by the fingertips. They represent the chest line.
Okay.
And then the trunk is the waistline, and that has to do with our mind. So when people think a lot, then that tends to get manifested in the waistline, where our ribs are. And so, for example, when people are in their minds a lot and they're great brains and all of that, and they think a lot, you may see some tightness on the waistline, and that has to do with our psychology. Uh-huh. And it's where our adrenals are as well. And so when you hold the finger, you can hold the middle knuckle, and that helps the waistline. And when you look at your fingers, you can already start to figure out where your need is, because you can see it's coming back in different places on the body. So when I was talking about body reading before, that's what I would look at. Like mm-hmm. maybe your middle knuckle is bigger, and that tells you something about your waistline. That has also to do with worldly desires, mm-hmm. And our ego lives there. And then the trunk, the hip line, has to do with the technique and our body. And that you can help by holding the base of your finger. So again, you can just feel around and see where it is tightest, mm-hmm. and you can hold it there, or again, you can hold the whole thing. So when you begin to start, Jinshin is really the study of, it's all about getting to know and understand and help yourself. And so when you start to understand that, you learn so much about yourself, where you are emotionally, spiritually, physically, and that is just really nice and important to understand. Even when people get sick, it's like, why? You know, that you have to take a good inventory on yourself and understand, because in my experience of so many years, the cause is always there. You can always find the cause in the body.
Mm-hmm. Get down to the root cause. Now, you said the harvest is the chest, the trunk is the waistline, and the root was what?
The hip line.
Oh, hip line. Okay.
The hip line, yes.
Okay. Now, in the book, you talk about flows within the body, and then, well, let's first talk about that. What is a flow? Is that the meridian flow that you alluded to earlier?
There are the 12 organ flows are in the book, and mm-hmm. So a flow is a sequence of steps. So in Jinshin, we work with 26, we call them safety energy locations, and there are 26 on the right and 26 on the left side of the body. And so a flow is when you hold a sequence of steps holding these safety energy locations. So there are also holds in the book, which is just one step, and I have those with the symptoms, and then there are flows, which is a sequence of steps. So most people make a daily routine as they start to work more on themselves. They love it so much because you feel so good. Then they start to experiment with them, which flows feel good, and it may change on a daily basis. And they start to create a daily routine using flows.
Mm-hmm. So when we are doing this daily routine, about how long, you know, for the average person would it take?
Well, most of my clients, or a lot of them, they love it and they make it really a part of their life, and they practice for an hour a day and they try all the different flows and which one for today and which one for tomorrow. You can also do 20 minutes, and if you get, for example, really tired in the afternoon, you can do a flow and you will feel better. You will be re-energized. Or you can do it for a couple of minutes if you're sitting at a movie or waiting at an office somewhere or waiting for the bus. Then you can hold your fingers or just hold one simple safety energy location. And it's interesting because we do it on ourselves anyway. If you think about it, Monique, I mean, you look around, you see people holding certain things, right? I mean, somebody will hold their cheekbone, which helps to relieve mental stress, or somebody will hold an upper arm, which helps the heart and the lungs and to clear the chest line, or they will hold a certain finger. And so Jinshin really brings an awareness to what we already know. We are really born with this. A baby, they will suck their thumb, and so they're helping to harmonize, they're helping to self-soothe, and they're helping their digestion, and they're helping their stomach and spleen energy. So it is really an innate part of us already. So it's very natural.
Okay. Now, what type of different diseases, I'm not going to call them diseases, but diseases can Jinshin help?
It can help. I have clients who have heart, and by the way, we call problems projects because we turn them into fun and work with them and they change. Okay. So people with heart projects, blood pressure, backache, neck pain, insomnia, anxiety, immune projects, also for people who are on medical treatment, chemotherapy, radiation, it helps to boost their immune system, keep the blood count in order, and keep, you know, harmonize nausea and fatigue. What else has helped? Injuries, knee injuries. It also helps depression. I mean, you know, in fact, it helps everything, because once the energy can flow freely in the body can heal itself. So, like you said, I'm not calling it a disease or a label. If you think of the word dis-ease, it's a disharmony. And so when you balance the energy, the body heals itself. And I think most people today, they understand that and accept that we are that powerful, really. We can help ourselves a lot.
Yeah, well, why are we more empowered when we handle our own self-care as opposed to running to an allopathic doctor?
I think it is very empowering to be able to help yourself. We then have to take responsibility, which for some people is not so easy. However, if you see that you can and you are empowered to do that and you can help yourself so easily, then really, why not? And I'm not saying don't use Western medicine. That can also be very valuable. But I think to be in a place of well-being and feeling really great, that is the place to be. And I think from what you said before, the horrible events that happen in the world, when we are in harmony as a whole world, you know, it will be just healthier and be more in harmony. Mm-hmm. So I think it is important for all of that, for the global health as well. Because when we're happier, we can just, everything will be better. You know, some days just everything is out of alignment and nothing is going the right way. Everything is going wrong. And why is that? And some days everything falls into place. So when you have a way to bring yourself into harmony, then maybe the events will fall into place in a different way as well.
Okay. Now I want to talk a minute for a little deeper about the safety energy locations. You said there's 26 on each side of the body. What are they? I mean, how do you identify? A lot of people are familiar with the chakras and, you know, the different layers of the aura. But talk to us about the safety energy locations.
Yeah, so they are mostly located on the joints, and they are like little, they can become, when they go in this harmony, they can become like little gridlocks. It's almost like a traffic jam, and you feel it. It feels like a little congestion, like if you hold the inside of your knee, that's safety energy location number one. They're about the size of the palm of your hand. And so there is a little bit of a leeway, and then in there, there's a bullseye. And so one side, either the right or the left, will be a little bit more congested. Mm-hmm. And so when you hold it simply, like I explained before, and you wait for this pulsation to come up, then it releases and the energy can flow through it. So when we do a flow, we use different safety energy locations in a sequence of steps to open up this flow pattern. And let me see what else about the safety energy location. So, for example, in acupuncture, there's many, many points, I think over 300. And this is the work that Jiro Murai did. He used these 26 safety energy locations, as well as all the vertebrae on the spine. And as you mentioned, chakras before, we use those same energy locations on the spine, on the front of the body. So when you look at the first three flows, all three flows are directly from source energy. So you see that in the main center source, we use the same locations as the chakras. So again, here you see that it greatly overlaps with Indian traditions or other Chinese modalities or Japanese modalities, like Reiki. I mean, when I talk, it probably sounds all very familiar to you. Mm-hmm. Monique, right? As a Reiki practitioner.
And I just wanted to be real familiar with the audience so that they can, get it. Now, you talk about, in sharing this technique and how simple it is, but you say you could also use it in relationship to different elements or the day of the week or even astrological signs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we call them, each cycle of energy is a depth. So, for example, when you hold your thumb, you're helping the first depth energy, and that would be related to the element of earth. Mm-hmm. So, again, it overlaps greatly there. So if you think of the earth element, it's related to a day of the week and an astrological sign and all of it. So it's very all-inclusive. So when you start to study this, you can put everything in a depth and then really start to study that depth. And in a way, it's like a basket. It holds all these attributes. And in this way, you can study the body and also see what resonates you. Like you can put your myself in a deficiency. Oh, am I mostly first deaf? Do I worry a lot? Is it mainly my digestion? Mm-hmm. Which colors do I wear? Which taste do I like? For example, if you have a craving for sweets, that's mm-hmm. related to first deaf, and you may want to give yourself a stomach flow or a spleen flow to help it along, to harmonize that first deaf energy, and then your craving will go away. So it's the body talking in a different way again. Or sometimes people crave salt a lot. That mm-hmm. has to do with the four steps or the emotion of fear. Mm-hmm. And so in this way, we can again study our whole body and just help it by doing some simple holds or give yourself a flow.
Okay. So you said the thumb helps with harmonizing worry, basically. And then the index finger is about fear. Mm-hmm. And then the middle finger, anger.
Yes.
And then the ring finger, sadness and or grief or anything along that spectrum. And that would, the ring finger would also be depression?
It can be, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
It depends a little bit where it comes from. Like people have also different kinds of depression, mm-hmm. right? So that is something that we then look at. And that's also like if you have a depression, maybe it feels more comfortable for you to hold your index finger, which is related to fear, but it helps the bladder flow. And the bladder flow goes over the top of the head and then through the neck and then down the back. So when somebody has a depression, that means that the energy is stuck in the head, and so you want to bring the energy down. So, for example, a bladder flow is very good for depression. But if somebody has lost somebody in their family and they're dealing with great loss and sadness and grief, then the ring finger or the second depth may be helpful. So it in that way, again, it depends a little bit. It depends very much on the individual, on the person. Why is it there and understanding where it comes from? You can't just put it all in one in the same place.
Okay.
Really looking at the cause.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say the little finger is about trying too hard, too much effort. Talk to us about that a little bit more.
Yes, the opposite would be like being authentic. So if you're pretending to be something that you're not, or if you're trying really hard. I mean, the easy way to think about it is, of course, if you think of a sport and there's all this pressure on the player and trying to get the ball into the basket. And if they're trying so hard, they have more chance that they miss. And if you're just flowing, that's trying too hard. They're trying too hard. And if you just take a deep breath and allowing it to happen, then it's effortless. Or a headstand in yoga, with effort, it's impossible. It has to go very smoothly and effortless with mm-hmm. the breath. So that's what I mean by trying too hard.
Okay.
The little finger also helps the heart and small intestine energy. So
uh-huh.
it helps with deep emotion. And if people have heart projects, they can hold their little finger as well. It's very dynamic and helpful.
Okay. Share with us one of your favorite success stories.
One of my favorite stories. One that's in the book or one that's not in the book?
It doesn't matter.
One of my favorite stories in the book. One of my favorite stories is when my 19-year-old son called me from college and he said, "Mom, this kid collapsed. What can I do to help him?" And I said, "Well, you can sit with him and hold the back of his head. And then you're holding safety energy location number 4, which is the bridge between consciousness and unconsciousness. So since this kid had fainted, I thought that would be a good hold." And then my son said, "Well, oh, forget it. The EMS is coming and they don't need me." And I said, "You know, just stay with him because it always takes a few minutes for the EMS to get it all together and pick up the person to into the ambulance."
Uh-huh.
And a few minutes later, I got a text from him. "I did it." So the boy was fine, got up and was okay. And I think that's one of my favorite stories, that you can use this for emergency things also. And again, anybody can do it. And it can be just one simple hold. I have many, many stories in my practice as well. I mean, just one other favorite story is the super of the building next door. He came to me, and his story is in the book, Alex. And so he started to send everybody from the building. And so I got this 80-year-old man who says, well, I've had this shoulder pain for 15, 20 years, and every night I wake up with tremendous pain. And so I started to work on him, and I saw him the next day, and he said, you're a miracle worker. It's gone. I slept through the night, and I didn't have any pain. And, I mean, so those are easy projects because it's on a muscular level, although even though it's been there for so long, it can be a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. But things like that are just really, really great, and it's just so easy. I'm not really, I mean, I'm holding the different spots. I am, you know, right on the spot, so that's important. But it is just so simple and no other tools other than your hands. And I guess lots of people who are that happy with it, and you know, it's just really fun.
Okay.
It's great. Now, yeah.
When we go to your website, jinshininstitute.com, what are we going to find there?
Yeah, so I have this institute. I train people, I have workshops. If you're in New York or if you want to come, we have a big publication party September 19th to celebrate the book. And I do a lot of, I have a big presence on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Jinshin Institute, and I do a lot of practice circles, live, and a little teachings. And there's a lot of nice things if people want to study further. And yeah, the website is just a lot of information. There's also some flow patterns on there and practitioners. And we have a center here in New York where there's four practitioners working right now. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot going on, yeah.
Well, good. Well, Deep Pak Chopra really highly recommends your book and your work. So, you know, kudos to you for that, right?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. He's been very supportive. And I gave him a session recently, and he said, wow, this is just wonderful. I've known him for 30 years, so we go back a long time.
Uh-huh.
And but yeah, he really likes to work. He's very much into energy medicine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so. Yes, he is. Our time is almost up, and I've truly enjoyed speaking with you today. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Can you repeat?
What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
I would like to leave the words that we all have this empowerment ourselves, and it's all when we use our hands, just simply apply it, that we can heal ourselves and heal more, get more good energy out there for the world, which is so important today, and to just start it. Just start today by holding your fingers and starting to change your life and getting the energy to move and feel great, and that brings happiness.
Okay. Well, folks, you know, this book is a great book. It's full of wonderful illustrations or colored photographs. They show each position very clearly, so you don't have to guess about it. Or if you're the type of person who has to be exactly precise, you can get that by looking at the pictures here. And she even explains, you know, how it helps, what it helps for. So if you just wanted to flip through the book and look at the picture and read below, you can look at the picture, imitate the picture, and then read below to see how you're helping yourself. This book is truly valuable in this day and age. And you know, they're screwing around with our healthcare system and all of this. So it's truly time to become more empowered about taking care of your body and, you know, utilizing different modalities in addition to traditional medicine, if traditional medicine is the way you want to go. So this book is very good for you. It's very simple. You don't have to be, you know, indoctrinated into the practice. You can read it and get it done. But that being said, Alexis, do you certify people, or how do people move further into this?
Yes, we do. We have a certification program, and we're working hard on that. Right now, we're grandfathering in a lot of people as well to be certified. And so there are practitioners all over the world. And if you, all over the world, it's very popular. I travel and teach and in different countries. So if you want to get more information, you can email us at support@Jinxin Institute, and we can answer all those questions.
Okay, very well said. Well, thank you for being with us today, Alexis, as we get over it and get into some self-healing for ourselves. I truly appreciate your information. And for the audience, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time and intention. And, you know, guys, when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of learning the art of Jinxin. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.